The last time we were together, as we were looking at, oh, by the way, if you're here today and this is your first visit with us, or if you have visited before, but you have not filled out a visitor's card, there's a slip there in the back of the pew, and we would appreciate so much if you'd fill that out and drop it in the offering plate. Let that be your contribution to New Life Fellowship today, and we'll know how to express to you our gratitude for your being a part of this worship, but especially from our hearts, thank you for being here. By the way, it is good to be with you. We missed you. We really did. When you're looking at 600 miles up the road, you got lots of talking time. I don't advocate you taking a trip like that just so you can talk to your wife. You know, you can talk to her while you're watching the basketball playoffs. She won't like it, I can guarantee you that. But you can talk to her while you're watching the playoff. But let me say from a sincere heart, you are a wonderful people. Thank you, New Life, for being the church and the ministry that you are. Thank you so much for that. Now, the last time I was here, not the last time you were here, the last time I was here, we were looking at the plan, the hope, the prayers for this year, exalting the Savior. You'll recall when we got to there, it took two sermons, exalting the Savior and exalting because Jesus, our neighbor, Jesus said, our brothers and sisters, Jesus said, those who hate you, Jesus said, everybody. And love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And if there's anything you can add to that, it's love your neighbor like you love yourself. So that was our second sermon on that. Then equipping the saints. And I believe, Peggy and I talked about it on our trip. We visited other churches. And listen, invariably, every church we visited asked this question. Well, what are you doing for discipleship? I.e., they felt like discipleship was critical, very important. So do I. Amen? And when I shared this little simple plan, they got right into it. When I shared our study groups, you'll note that there soon will be some adjustments in that. But it will be the same thing. We will still continue to try to increase your knowledge and your involvement in the Word of God and in service to Jesus Christ. You remember when I began with this, I told you I have really pushed hard for a New Life Church. No more. It'll be for Jesus. It'll be for Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And so if we are equipping you, it is so you better can serve Jesus. Anybody here that does not want to serve Jesus? Well, 100% first time. Okay. Then we talked about extending the ministries, the habitation, preparing as a church body, and that we are. Listen, we are the body of Christ, and He's the head, and we're the members, and you need to understand this, and I need to understand this. That I may not be any more than a crooked little finger, but hallelujah, I'm the part of the body of Christ. And if you're a part of New Life Fellowship, and you'll understand a little later on today when we give the invitation that we're inviting you to become a part of the body of Christ. Okay? So, we need to extend, and we need always to extend. And now, the last time, we talked about engaging, and we were in John chapter 4. You remember that? You remember? And Jesus said, when the Pharisees and the scribes got nosy and about something that wasn't absolutely none of their business. Oh, let me throw in something. I helped with a church. Start to say discipline, resolution. That's a good word. That was a church resolution while we was gone. And it just really was a foolish thing. It's amazing. I got to thinking, and I talked to a couple of pastors who were involved in this as well. You know, most times when a church has some kind of a problem, it's something stupid. I mean, it's something that's not very worthwhile arguing over. Okay. John chapter 4, the scribes and the Pharisees, they got into, get this big issue now, here it is. Who baptized the most? Did John the Baptist baptize more than Jesus, or did Jesus baptize more than John the Baptist? And somebody got smart and put in the Bible, Jesus didn't baptize anybody. His disciples did the baptizing. Or that the only people that Jesus did baptize was the disciples. I mean, that sort of muted that issue, did it not? But he then said in verse 4, he said, you know what? I need to go to Samaria. Say what? Do you know the implication of that? I need to go to Samaria? I mean, hey, we don't like those guys. Those are Samaritans, don't you understand? They're one or two or three, some degree below a dog. Now, there's a good reason for that, too, you know. That's because they're not 100% Jew. Hello, Samaritans this morning. Gentiles you be. Now, if there's anything worse than a Samaritan, it's a Gentile. Okay. But I need to go there. Well, what in the world for? None of your business. You got that? It is absolutely none of your business why Jesus wanted to go through Samaria. I made that point because I want to make this point. When Jesus flat out does something that don't make good sense, that New Life Church, don't ask why. Just join him. He'd like to have your company. Because usually, you know, when he's doing something like that, golly, there's not many going to go with him. Got it? I mean, he says, step out on faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whoop. But I'm not going there. Why? Because we'll get in trouble. I'm looking around, by the way. I suspect, as I look this crowd over and get rid of that light right there, I suspect nobody here old enough to remember the days of segregation and integration. Now, if you really wanted to have fun back there in 1957, and Orville J. whoever Faubus was stood on the Capitol steps and said there will be no integration in Arkansas in any of our schools, God says, remember what you can't question God. God says, I want you to go over to Missionary Baptist Church in Hoxie, Arkansas. I was in college over there at Walnut Ridge, and preach a revival. When they called me, I don't know how in the world they got my name, but when they called me and I went over, I found out somebody had plastered all over the walls of that church, a large black church, pictures of pastor and a blonde. Now, that's the time to tuck tail and run, right? Now, I don't know what I'm doing here. This is not in the part of my sermon. I better get the sermon out. That was fun. I'm telling you, I didn't know everybody in Arkansas Baptist knew me, but they did. I got calls from everywhere. Peggy said, we better go find another state, and thank God he led us to Michigan. All right. So, we talked about John chapter 4, verse 4, and thereafter, and how Jesus really needed, you know, they didn't understand it, and you won't understand it, but he really needed to go through Samaria because there was a little town in Samaria called Sychar. And at Sychar, there was Jacob's well. That was a piece of ground that his dad had given him, and Jacob dug a well, and it was still producing water 800 years later, and it is still producing water 2,000 years later. It's still putting out good water. And when he got there, we're talking about the engaging. When he got there, Jesus positioned himself. Now, you remember the last time. I know you do. You have perfect memory. I'm the only guy that's forgetful, right? Now, you remember, we talked about back in the Old Testament, in Psalms, David said, "He that winneth souls is wise." He also said, "He that goeth forth weeping, sowing precious seed, will doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And then he caps that all together and bundles it up in a neat little package, puts a ribbon around it, what he says in Acts 1:8. "But you," that's you, that's you, that's me, that's you, "you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit," the Holy Ghost, "has come upon you." Now watch. Don't forget it. You will be, you can be, no, you should be, no, you will be my witness. Now, let me boldly declare, but do not grab hymn books and throw this away. They're too precious in the assembly. Unless in some form you're attempting to do that, you are either not saved, that's number one, or you are so backslidden you don't understand the will of God for your life. Now, I'm going to try to justify that as we go. And we went on through his position. The woman comes and he uses that powerful CWT presentation. "Give me a drink." Well, that's an EE too. "Give me a drink." That's in winning souls. "Give me a drink." I.e., there's something that will get the attention of every non-believer. Find it. Okay? Now, and the disciples have gone into town to buy some bologna and some bread and some mustard. And while they're gone, the woman comes out and he says, "Give me a drink." And she said, "Well, wait a minute. You're not supposed to ask me that." So the next time you make an attempt to share Jesus with somebody and they look at you like, "What in the world are you doing asking me something like that?" Well, you're not supposed to. This world don't want to hear you. Got it? They do not want to hear you share with them the love of Jesus Christ, the love that took him to Calvary's cross, the love that caused him to lay down his life, the love that caused him to go to the grave and come out of the grave, the love that brought him up and into heaven where he sat down and this very day sits still waiting for someone to say, "Jesus, save me." Well, when you share that, they won't get excited. Well, some will, though. Our good brother, who was a master soul winner, Paul, remember him? Saul of Tarsus, who got saved, became Paul. He said, "I'll be all things to all men, that by so doing, I might win some." Now, I want to make 3 points quickly. One, I want you to look at who Christ partnered with in this soul win. This is in toto a soul winning crusade attempt journey. Look who he partners with. Now he's got 12. I want you to know now, he has 12, 11 of which are outstanding Baptist preachers. And he sends them into Sychar. I've got thoughts shooting through both sides of my head now. One of them is this. How many people do you think they witnessed to in Sychar? The guy that sold them the bologna? Bologna. The guy that sold them the whole wheat bread? Listen, folks, I don't think they witnessed to one soul. But he had these 12. 11 of them were really good Baptist preachers. He could have told them. But I think he wanted you and I to learn a lesson. I want you to see who he partnered with. He said to the lady, got it there, it's in Scripture. Hey, what I want you to do is I want you to go back into Sychar and get your husband and bring him out here so's I can talk to him too. Well, she had just said, now, we know you're from God. Nobody can do. Oh, my. I want that water. Well, sir, I don't have a husband. Well, you're right. You've had five, now you're living with a guy you're not even married to. Now, I understand that three Sundays ago when I said they were shacking up, somebody got offended to that. Well, go ahead and be offended. That's what they were doing. And you see, he got her attention. You know what he said to her? Hang on. You're a sinner. Now, don't that bother you? Don't that just hackle the hair on the back of your neck? Listen. Listen, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth righteous, no, not one. So, let me stand here with my face hanging out and say to you this day, you are a sinner. Amen. Hallelujah, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Well, listen, are you going to sleep on me? Let's see if I can find a funny story here somewhere to wake you up. You are a sinner saved by grace, I hope. Say amen if you're a sinner saved by grace. Say hallelujah if you're a sinner saved by grace. Well, let's go one step further, not get any response at all. Say glory to God if you're a sinner saved by grace, but you're a sinner. It's amazing when you start talking to people about their sin, they haven't done that. Well, that's who he partners with. And I made that point for this reason. Listen, Jesus is not looking for a certified CWTEE evangelism explosion, soul-winning course passer. Jesus is looking for someone who knows sinners. Let's see if I can wake you up a little bit more. Now, if you know someone that's a sinner, raise your hand. Peggy. Oh, you did. Well, do it when I'm looking your way next time. Okay. You see, all that Jesus wants is you just to love him. Just to be so in love with him that you want to tell everybody you know. You want me to prove that to you? This old gal went back into Sychar and she said to the men of the town, I just thought of something. I wonder, was the guy she was living with, was he with that crowd that came out to hear Jesus? I'd like to know that. Well, I'll get to heaven one day and find out. She went to the men of the town and told them all. Come. I mean, boy, listen, you talking about how to win a town, well, you get Billy Graham to come, right? Or you get William Graham to come, or you give your testimony. Here's what you've got to do to fulfill this engaging. Are you listening? If you're listening, hold up your right, left hand. Listen, all you got to do is just tell people what Jesus did for you. There's no one in this whole wide world that can say Jesus did not save me, that Jesus did not change me from a low down, ornery, good for nothing sinner to a saint. Sometimes my halo slips down a little bit, but I want you to know something. I don't want you to start calling me Saint TB now, though. Let's get that out of the way. But I want you to know, in the sight of Almighty God, I've been sanctified. Hallelujah. I've been sanctified. I've been set free from sin. Sin has no longer a hold on me. I can tell people that. All you got to do is just go tell them. That's what Cal said. Woo, what a entree. Hey, I want you to come out here to the well and see the man. I think she meant hear the man that told me everything I'd ever done. I won't go there. Okay. Let's move on. Last point. Well, maybe I need to make a priority for you. The disciples get back, and they've got all these big questions they're afraid to ask Jesus. What are you doing? What are you doing talking to a woman like that? I mean, don't you know she's a Samaritan? You could tell by looking at her. Oh, little did they know that walking down the road towards Sychar was a lady who had been totally, completely, absolutely changed and made a witness for Jesus. See, he doesn't need perfection. You ain't got it. What he needs is a willing witness. But preacher, I don't know how. Oh, if you know Jesus, you know how. You can tell anybody that comes down the pike, this is what Jesus did for me. That's all she did. She went to Sychar and said, I want you to come meet this guy. Now, the disciples said to Jesus, hey, you better have something to eat. You remember, you're so tired. Oh, look at his prioritizing witnessing. Guys, I have meat that you know absolutely nothing about. Folks, listen to me for just briefly. Until you have sat down with a friend, a loved one, a stranger, and said, has anyone asked you today if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? I often say, have you come to that place where you know for sure that you have eternal life and that you're going to go to heaven when you die? You know, most people, even the religious folks, say, well, I don't think anybody can know for sure. Oh. Do you believe the Word of God? Right hand this time. You believe the Word of God? Did you know the Word of God says, by this you'll let everybody know. Everybody. You're my disciple. You love one another. And Jesus said, you'll know if you want to tell everybody about me. Okay. He didn't need bread. I have meat to eat. You know, not a... Listen, I want to tell you something. Until you become someone sharing Jesus Christ and his love and what he's doing and the life that he gives and the eternity that he promises, oh, you haven't lived yet. Now, I want you to see his power. We look today at his partnering, his prioritizing, and his power. This whole town, well, at least the men of the whole town, I hope they went home, got their wife and kids and brought them too. I can't tell you that's what they did, but you know, it's okay because they're going to go back. I can guarantee you this, they're going to go back and they're going to tell their wives and they're going to tell their kids and they're going to tell their neighbors and their grandpas and their grandmas and their moms and their dads and anybody that wasn't there, they're going to tell them. And I know that. Look down there. Come on down there. Go on down there. In John 4. You know what? Now this is important. You need to know this. We came up here to this well because of what she said. A lot of people are going to come to church with you to hear the gospel because of your testimony. Yeah, I got time. Did you know the Word of God says, if there's someone you ought to tell and you don't tell on the judgment day, their blood's going to be on your hands. Won't that be a horrible, horrible thing? Have a man walk right up to you, look you right in the face, or a woman look up to you and say, man, why didn't you tell me you were going to heaven? Why didn't you tell me you knew this loving Jesus? Why didn't you tell me that this God was your God? Pew! Into the pit. Now, if you don't have Jesus, as your Lord and Savior, on the judgment day, you too will go into the pit. This prepared for the devil and all of his angels. Don't have time. We'll get there next week. We believed, and Dan, I'm going to trace some words here. We believe because of what she said. We came out here, and now we believe because we have heard you. Listen, the Word of God, precious Word of God. Don't ever stand for anyone standing in this pulpit and not preaching the precious Word of God, because it's from God's throne. Every word is inspired of God, and every word is as true can get. And you have the privilege, and you have the responsibility of responding to it. Now, I want to do something today different. I love the altar. I want you to know that. It's Peggy and I come in before anybody gets here and pray and get in the altar and just, you know, getting our hearts right with God, getting anything that's in the way out of the way, getting ready to worship and honor Him. That's what exalting's about. And hallelujah, I am seeing more familiarity, Scott, with the altar than we saw some time ago. I don't know whether you're scared of me or the altar. It's all right, long as you get over it. I want today to give an altar call. Now, I grew up in a little country church in the cotton fields of Arkansas. And we had something you never heard about, unless you've seen it on a good movie somewhere. We had a mourner's bench. We actually had benches here in the front that you could come. And I don't know where they got the concept of mourner's bench. Suited me. But we had a mourner's bench, and people became familiar. I want you to become familiar with the altar. It's representative of the place where we meet with God. Now, let me help you a little bit. Every one of us need an acquaintance with the altar. We just share our soul with God privately. Now, when someone comes to the altar, you need to learn to come, women with women, men with men. You don't have to say a word, except you say to God, God, I just agree with whatever's on their heart. I'm in agreement with them that you and the Holy Spirit answer that. Now, if there's a decision like, well, ain't nothing going to make any noise off that thing. If there's a decision like, I today and making a commitment of my life to be one who shares Jesus, an encounter for Christ. If you wish to come make that decision, by the way, I'd like for you to challenge the other church members by making it public. You don't have to, of course. If you're here today, and I don't know that I've ever said this, but for Christ's sake, for Jesus, let me footnote here. This is the body of Christ. Amen? This is not New Life Church. This is New Life Fellowship, the body of Christ. And if you do not have an affiliation, a connection with the body of Christ, and you feel like God would have you come and say, you know, this is a good place doing the good things, and I want to join this church, this fellowship, in the ministry of Jesus. I want you to, if you need to pray about that, pray about that. If you make that decision, would you please tell me? And if God just says, listen closely, if God just says, go to the altar, none of that preacher's business. Just go to the altar. Alex, would you, while they stand, would you play something?